All right, so School of Prayer will continue today, and today I want to speak about, and I will use that one as our foundation for prayer. I hope to take this maybe once, more than today, another that is today and another day. And I'll talk about prayers and decision making. Okay? Praying and making decisions, using prayer to make decisions. I'll read a number of scriptures, and they will set the platform upon which we speak. First of all, the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Say it again. Grace.
Grace
is the power of God, all right? It's the power of God revealed to those who believe. It is the power of God that enables believers to do the will of God. The Bible says that God is the one that's at work within you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. That is, the word grace, as I'm going to explain. Grace, obedience to God is not a matter of your strength. It's not by power. It's not by your might. Even to obey God is by his spirit. You need it. You need to have the spirit of God working in you to be able to do that which is pleasing to him. God didn't design for life to be difficult. What he expects is that we'll make the right choices. And based upon those choices, his spirit will enter into us and cause us to obey him. If you go and read the story, when Ezekiel first encountered the Lord, when the visions of God came upon him, the glory that was surrounding that place was so great that he fell on his feet. And that's in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. And then in chapter 2 verse 1, the Lord now said to him, "Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you." Now this is a man who fell not because he wanted to fall. He fell because of the enormity of what he was witnessing. Like we talk about it today, he fell under the power of the Spirit. Therefore, it was not within him, all right, to stand up, because it was not his decision to fall down. So when he had to obey that word, what did God do to him? If you read that verse 2 of chapter 2, after the Lord said to him, "Stand on your feet that I may speak to you," and he said in verse 2, "And he spoke, and as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me." God wanted to talk to him, all right? And it required that he be upstanding while they spoke with each other, or while he listened and the Lord spoke. But the man couldn't stand. So what the Lord did was to pour his spirit into him. And that spirit caused him to stand on his feet. And that is what is called grace. Grace to obey. Grace to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. We do not obey God by our strength. We cannot obey him. We can't do that which is pleasing to him by our determination. You've heard me say it again and again, that life is beyond just a simple decision you make. You want to obey, you want to disobey. It's not at that particular point in time. Obedience is a consequence of faith. And faith always draws forth the power of God. The Bible says it had to be by faith in the book of Romans chapter 4, that it might be in accordance with grace. Grace is the power of God that is released when one exercises faith. So obedience is a matter of faith. It's not a matter of trying. It's not a matter of strength. It's not a matter of labor. It is a matter of faith. You've heard me use this illustration again and again. When the Lord Jesus spoke to that woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and he did not condemn her. So when he spoke to her, he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I said to you then that, listen, it wasn't that he was giving her counsel. The word of God is power. It was giving her the enablement to walk above sin. She didn't have to say, it was not required from her that he says that, "I will try." There's nothing like that. All she needed to say was, "Amen." When he said, "Go and sin no more," all she needed to do was, "Amen." And her amen will cause the power to walk above sin to work in her life. You understand? That's the way it works. So that's what I mean by grace. That's why I say you should say it grace, because that is what you need to obey God. And that's why we're talking about it today. The matter of decision making and obedience and the prayer. Prayer and decision making. The Lord is good. Now let's read that scripture, the book of Proverbs chapter 3. It said I'd like to read the whole portion, though, where we need. Okay, let's just stick with the one we are going to talk about from verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." He said, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Then he talked about honoring the Lord and all of that. But those are the verses I really want. The fact that we should trust in the Lord with all our hearts and do not lean or put our weight, our confidence on the things that we understand by ourselves. That is, what he was saying is that except something is based upon the word of God, don't lean on it. You can hear it, you can understand it, you can use it to analyze some situations if necessary, but do not lean on it. That is, don't make it a foundation for your destiny. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know, every day you look at life and you see the way things change. One day, you know, when the then president Obasanjo announced that he was going to demolish all toll gates, I still remember how I reacted then. I laughed. I said, you know, those toll gates have been there for a very long time. And there were businesses built around the presence of those toll gates. And then one day, they disappeared. And those businesses went with them, all right, for most of the extent. This is the point I'm making. If anybody had thought that he will make it in life because he has a business that people always stop, you know, there, that's the end of it. It just came to an end. And listen, that's the way life is. It's hard to say it now, but because some people think you are joking. A time will also come, nobody will pay football as well. I don't know whether you're hearing me say. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. The time will come, people will decide that, why should we pay them so much? Economic hardship, things are too tight. I beg. They will start slashing the wages. You will think it's a joke. So if you have built your career thinking that, listen, you know, when we get there, we are going to play football, you'll be amazed when you get there. Nobody wants to watch football. Do not lean on your own understanding. You can't say, if I can get a PhD in this particular rare area of engineering, my future is made. By the time you reach there, they don't need, in fact, the world will so change. Do you follow my point? Uh-huh. In fact, the way the world has changed now, I mean, and just a few years ago, you know, I was reading something today, which is very interesting. I downloaded it some time ago. Somebody was analyzing Nokia. How Nokia lost its place. Now, Nokia, they said the market valuation of Nokia dropped by about 90%. It dropped, let me start it because it's the game because of that noise. The market valuation of Nokia dropped by about 90% over just a few years. From the time Apple released the iPhone, the market valuation of Nokia began to fall. And Samsung, even Samsung, overtook Nokia as the best-selling phone brand in the world. Nokia still sells these small phones more than everybody. But when it comes to making money from phone sales, they've been dusted by Nokia, iPhone, they've pushed them down. I was reading it in the analysis, and so they gave it a concept. Some people call it the hubris of success. Then when iPhone released that their phone, Nokia decided that, no, they made a statement that we decide the pace of phone business. And that was what their CEO said. They fired him after a while. Yeah, because obviously he wasn't in tune with reality. They had to fire him and get it for the first time a Nokia CEO that was not from Finland. So that was the pride of Finland, and it went down. The market valuation dropped by 90%. That is, the share price was going for $60. It went down to $6. When I read it, I laughed. I wasn't too surprised. I said, no, I'm used to it now. This is normal thing in life. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He said, do not lean on your own understanding. They leaned on their understanding. They knew they were the market leaders. They detected the pace, but they didn't know that seasons change. Are you getting my point? There are people who bought Nokia stocks, said this one is always on top. While they were watching, 90% of the value was wiped off. Do not lean on your own understanding. What did they say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, my message today is not even to talk about that in details, but it's to talk about the fact that it may be, you know, this, we are admonishing right now. We are giving the instructions of the word of God. But when you come to the point of making the decision, it may be difficult for you to make the right decision. And let me, there's something I want to say before I get into the matter of prayer. This is how life is. You know, he said, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path or make your path straight. Now, the way people taught us those days in the Word of Faith movement was that if you pray, the Lord will whisper to you. Now, a lot of people grew up and they depended on whisperations, like I call it. You understand? There's inspiration, and then there is what? Whisperation. You understand what I'm saying? The whisperings of the Spirit. Now, like I was discussing with somebody a few days ago, was he in Car 9? Yes, I saw a book with him and we're just talking. I said, this is a book I did not recommend. Of all the books I recommend for building your faith, that's a very famous, very popular book that I refused to recommend. I said, because it generated for me, in my opinion, more confusion in the heart of Christians than it settled. And this is my reason. People talk about how am I led by the Spirit of God? They say, your Holy Spirit whispers to you. It becomes difficult to know which one is the Holy Spirit, you understand my point, in your heart, or which one is your intense desires. And my experience is that the spirit of a man, when the Bible uses the word spirit of a man, listen, don't be deceived. There's something we preach in Christ in the Word of Faith, which is not true, all right? There's some truth to it, and I withdraw that. There's some truth to it, all right? But the application of it is not true. They say that your spirit is pure. Anything your spirit tells you is correct. That in it is not true. You know, we used to say that because we thought that the only thing that was in the spirit of a man is that which God puts in there. But having studied, I discovered that the spirit of a man is not just that seed of God. There is a seed of God. If the seed of God in you speaks up to you, it will always be correct. But it's not always pure. It is easily polluted. Please, follow on and say, when you use the word spirit, the spirit of a man, what the Bible means actually is that the baseline impetus for his life. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, a Christian who is fearful of tomorrow has a spirit of fear. I don't know what I heard I said. I need to end that emphasis. So, there is this baseline inside your heart. Are you getting my point? So, you see, what used to happen that people, I hear people say that, let me give an example. There was one woman who was walking in the same place I was walking, and then they did some transfers. And the transfer did not favor her. So, instead of going to work, she will come and say that her spirit did not agree that she should go. Being a Christian Pentecostal in this movement, it was supposed to impress the rest of us that, you know, since my spirit didn't say I should go, that it must be right that the Holy Spirit does not want me to go. Listen to me, it's not true. No matter how convinced you are that you should not go, it does not mean it is God. And that's, you see, these days when I pray differently, I mean for myself. And let me tell you, this blood of Jesus thing, don't just waste your time wasting it on your enemies. It was not meant for your enemies, it was meant for you. It was not meant for enemies at all. This is one that sometimes when I lie down, you understand? There are things I say with confidence, all right? When I say that maybe like I'm doing something and I feel this is the right thing to do. But sometimes I lie down at night. And I say, look, Banky, you are sure if he doesn't make it right too. So I pray again. That's what I'm teaching about today. I pray again. Do you know the reason? Because you see, there are some possible fears inside your heart which you have not yet recognized. And they are part, oh God, this is what a lot of Pentecostal Christians don't understand. They are part of what the Bible calls your spirit. We think that your spirit is only the one that's given by God. No, not at all. Inside the Holy Spirit is inside you. If you could decipher and clarify and be sure of which one is the voice of the Holy Spirit, there will have been no problem. But if you just use the word, my spirit is not pure. It is affected by your fears. It's affected by your prejudice. Let me give you an example. If the Lord, now, please, if you are white and you're listening to this, I don't know, don't be angry. I repent all the day, every day. If the Lord had wanted me to marry a white woman, he wouldn't have done it with inward witness. Because the chances that I would love a white woman was next to zero. There's no, you are white? Don't ask me why. It was just my personal problem. Once I just look here, you're not long, you have long hair, you're coming from America, forget. At least we don't even go near it. Now, I had my issues, all right? Let me give you an example. Okay, I'll tell you my reasons, okay? And it wasn't just about being white. It's, if you were raised abroad, that was just the issue. It wasn't about your complexion, really. It was about the culture you came out of. So I'm not being racist, right? If you were blacker than me, you know what I'm saying? and you were raised in America, I'm marrying you. That's just me. And this is my reason. I just feel that one day you pack your load and say you are going home. You know, you marry again. You know what I'm saying? you know, the thing is deep. You know, it's there. It's there. It's just inside my heart. So I just felt like no matter how. So if Holy Spirit wants to talk to me, he could. Look, my spirit will reject any of those. So when I say, Pastor Banky, do you like that sister? I say, my spirit does not agree. Now, when you hear my spirit does not agree, what do you think? The Holy Spirit does not agree. The truth is that some deep-held prejudice, which is founded upon some issues, is there. And it's also talking. Do you understand my point? We need to clarify this. That's a lot of people will tell you that my spirit said. And they think that that means it's right. It doesn't make it right. Once you use the word my spirit, forget it. I don't trust it. Not because it is bad, but because it's an aggregation, it's a resultant force from all the contributions from the Holy Spirit, your own prejudice, your understanding, your misunderstanding, everything you put together is pushing you in life. Let me say this. A lot of Christians, their spirits are pushing them, and the major, a huge chunk of that spirit is the fear of tomorrow. Do you know the second part? It affects how you understand the gospel. Yeah, it does. That's why this thing I'm teaching today is very important. This blood of Jesus and Holy Ghost fire, please spare your enemies. They don't need it. You are the one that needs this matter. Because the spirit of a man, even though he's a Christian, didn't you read in your scriptures that a Christian, a preacher, can sear his heart with hot iron? And go and check it. It's because of love of money. After that, the spirit is not there. The spirit is talking. But this spirit is now what? Polluted. So if you could identify which one is the Holy Spirit, it will be pure every time. You know why? Let me explain why I'm going about that like that again. All right? Now, why I'm going about that. What's up? I'm sure those windows are closed. Now, the point I'm going to make is this. All right? When Christians didn't understand this, you understand? And I told you I was talking about a book. So we emphasize so much on learning to hear the voice of our spirits. Unfortunately, there was no guarantee that those voices were correct. Even if you could purify how you heard the voice of your spirit. The fact that you are born again doesn't mean the thing coming from inside you is correct. That's what I'm going to explain. My preaching today, what are we discussing? Prayers and decision making. Making choices, alright? Now, having said that, you know, I want to explain something. In all your ways, acknowledge money will direct your steps. So people used to teach then that all you need to do is check your spirit and you know what God wants you to do. Let me say to you, from experience, it doesn't work like that. When I say experience, now I don't mean my experience. Experience of many people. And the Bible didn't teach that like that. What he said is, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. What it means is, if you read the literal Hebrew, or some translations use the word, which one did I use now? I've read all of them. I don't even know which one I read. That's New American Standard. What did he say? Yes, he said, he will make your paths straight. Yes, that's what I wanted to refer to. And that is accurate. It will make your path straight. That's what it says. Okay? Read different translations. That's what you get in most of them. And what does that mean? I want to explain something. First, let me explain what that means. Then I will explain the main thing I want to say. When it says he will make your path straight, what it means is that he will help you get to the place you're supposed to get to through whatever means he has to do it. When it says he will make your path straight, it's another way to look at it. Now, this is what I wanted to say, then I'll use to explain that. Life, to get to where you are going, all right, life always bifurcates. That is, always the road always breaks into two. You either go to the left or you go to the right. Assume you are going from point A to point, D, all right, as an example. There will be several points along the way that the road turns to the left and the right. If you could look from a distance and see all the points, you will see where point D is where you are going. But when you start the road, you actually can't see it. You can only see as far, really, as the next point where the road breaks to the left and to the right. Are you getting the point? Now, this is how it works. So if you are going to, if D is a place of destiny, you are supposed to get there. God doesn't give you a map, listen to this, of how to get from A to B. He only teaches you how to choose left or right when you get there. Am I convincing myself? If you are following me, say amen.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You have to travel. Okay, let's say something else. You want to go from here. You want to go from here to my house. This is the typical thing that we do as human beings. I give you a description. When you get to this point, turn right. When you get there, turn left. When you get there, you will see this, then choose this one. You know, but no, that's not what God does. He doesn't give you a map from how to get from here to my house. What he does is to teach you the principle of how to choose, like when you get to this staircase now. Whether you should go down, or assume there's a step up, or go up. Alright? You will choose whether you will go down or you go up. When you go downstairs, he will teach you how to choose to turn to the right or the left. He doesn't tell you how to get from here to my house. He gives you the laws, the principles, alright? As it applies, especially, right? Especially as it applies to your life, on how to make the choices when the road will break into two. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That's what he does. That's what he does. So, you only need to concern yourself, really. You need to concern yourself with how to make that decision when you get to the point in which the road breaks to the left and to the right. And this is how Christians do it. Because these are moral roads. You know, this is not a physical road. It's a moral thing. So, this is how Christians do it. It's whether... Now, it's always like this. One of those roads will please God and one will please him less. Let me put it like that. One will be what the Bible calls the perfect will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The other one will be inferior to the perfect will of God. And you will make that decision based on principle. Now, James says something. If any man lacks wisdom, what should he do? Let him ask. Now, this is what it means to lack wisdom. This is how God leads people usually. You know, something happened. I was alone in the house this afternoon. I wanted to do something, all right? Maybe like, let me give as an example. Maybe I wanted to give money to somebody. Let's take it like that. It's not money, but let's take it as an example. So, and now, listen to this. This is Pentecostal. Amen. This is how. And I said, this money. Should I give this person or shouldn't I give this person? So inside my heart, I began to check my spirit. Should I? Then you speak to your soul. You know, we talk about that. So I spoke to myself. I said, Banky, will you behave yourself? If this fellow needs this money and you have it, give it to him. Which is all this checking your spirit, whether the Holy Spirit wants you to give him or not. To give somebody something that is good, and you should do it all the time, that you can afford it. What sort of this? I want to check my spirit. You are trying to overcome your flesh, your reluctance to part with the money. So I had to tell myself, I must stop that breakdance. If you want to give money, give money. Don't bother praying about this matter. There's a good thing. They don't pray about good things like that. If the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do it, he will speak to you two different ways. All right? He will lead you so that you will not do it. Not to just wake up and say that, I told you once a friend, I said, I'll give him something. He said, I don't give until the Holy Spirit leads me. You see, that is foolishness. There is a constant leading of the Holy Spirit in here, which has taught you to be generous. Give to all that ask of you. Give you that as a commandment, almost. What is the Holy Spirit telling you to give or not to give? I'm not an issue here. Now, we have understanding. So, a lot of times when you are going, maybe on that road we're talking about, the road is supposed to break to the road breaks to left and right. You get to that point, and you're about to turn left, and you see a clear sign, no entry, danger, or trucks only, no pedestrians, and you are trekking. You understand my point? No pedestrian, fast moving vehicles only. The Holy Spirit won't tell you jack. You will get to that junction. The left, the sign is clear. The only option you have is what? The right. You don't pray at such times. You take the right. That's the only option. You say, what if the Lord doesn't want me to go to the left or right? That it is his duty to stop you. And what he meant when he said, he will make your path straight. This is what the Bible says. If you acknowledge him at all junctions, are you getting my point? You do not lean on your own understanding, that is natural human understanding. You acknowledge him at all junctions. He will create the roads. Now listen to this. Everywhere you get to, the road will rearrange so that the correct road will be in front of you. That's what he meant when he said he will make your path what? Straight. It will no longer be crooked. It will be clear where you are supposed to go next. Then when you, by the time you get to that next junction, the one you should take also comes to you naturally. Are you getting me? Christians, at least, the way I was, what I was involved in those days, Word of Faith movement, all of that, we emphasize too much on how to get to that junction, cast our pellets, you know what I'm saying, our own kind of divination, and start making, you know, sounds on Holy Spirit. Which one do we go? Which one do we go? We emphasize so much on that rather than learning to trust God entirely. Do you get my point? Knowing that when we get to that point, the correct one will be obvious. Now, how is it obvious most times? I said to you earlier, this is how it works normally. Now, most of those junctions are the points in which you have to make a decision. And now listen to this. Most times, please tell your neighbor, most times. Most times, say it again. I didn't say every time. You understand? Most times, the decision should be based, it should be clear, based on principle. You get my point? People have asked me, for people I know very well, they want counsel. And they say, now I have this issue. I could do this or I could do that. And I think both of them are right. You understand my point? They have a problem. They need to make a decision. So when they are talking with me, I will show them the folly. Now, when I say folly now, not in outcome, but from the word of God, what is wrong concerning that one particular, this particular side. As me, it's a woman. You understand? You're talking. And all I need to do, I won't let my husband know. I say, hey, are you getting my point? The whole plan is right, is sound. Until she utters one word, I won't let my husband know. Do you understand my point? I said, no, I am sorry. That won't fly. That is, this secrecy you are bringing into your home, it will not fly. Do you understand my point? Suddenly, there remains only one option. I have not said do this, don't do that. But I have just pointed out what is out of order in this particular option. Most of the time in life, that's what the Lord does for us. I mean, I gave you an example recently. When David got to, now, David was being pursued by Saul. Saul was on his neck every day, wanting to kill him. Then one day, a door opened for all his crises to come to an end. He had entered a cave, he and his men, to rest. Saul and his men came in afterwards, not knowing that David and his men were in the further recesses of that cave. Saul and co were in the outer part and they slept. So David and his men came out and saw the whole army. They were exhausted. They were sleeping. And one of his men said to him, Ogami, give the order. I strike this man dead and all our problems are over. What do we do? Now think about it, the result. You kill this man, you don't have to run again. You kill this man, the throne is now free. You cannot take it according to God's command, the commandment. You kill this man, and everybody's at peace. The whole of Israel is at peace. You take over the army. It's an easy deal, isn't it? There's only one problem. To kill him, you have to break one simple law, one serious law, one clear law that God, I don't know how, but he had taught David. You cannot raise your hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. There's nothing like, let us pray. Maybe it's God's will. This opportunity, what shall we do? In case you did not know, God doesn't answer at such times. Why? Because what you should do is clear to you. I mean, people have come, I remember one particular I have in mind. One lady came to me, well, not really to me, she came to church for counseling, and then somebody said, please, you will mind counseling this woman? I said, no problem. And by the time I finished the whole discussion, what to do was clear. Apparently, I was not the first person to tell her what the right thing was. Her husband, she and her husband, they didn't have any problem. The man didn't want her to do something, and she so seriously wanted to do it. So she has been going for counseling. And everybody that has bothered to counsel her, all right, all of them had always said the same thing. And when I began to say it, not knowing that other people had said it, her countenance fell. Do you understand? Because this was just the right thing to do. Now, please, bear that in mind. This what I've said now. I'm about to say something, all right? And bear it in mind. To do the right thing was hard for her. And like that's what I'm talking about mostly today, all right? I'm just building up to it. To do the right thing was hard for her. Bear that in mind. I will come back to it. But it was, listen, the Holy Spirit will not say anything. You're asking for God speak signs, wonders. You won't hear anything. You know why? You know what is right. You get what I'm saying? It's just that it is not what you want to do. Listen to me. Your spirit does not agree. Forget the fact that you're a Christian. Your spirit can refuse to do what the Lord wants you to do. What do you mean by your spirit? The push inside you, the drive, it doesn't agree. That is where the problem is. Actually, that's what I'm teaching today. I'm just, all this one there is a build up to it. It's a build up to it. Let me say it again. When what is right to do is clear, the Holy Spirit says nothing. It doesn't say anything. Let me finish explaining what I'm saying about making your path straight, and then I'll get back to my main thing I want to say. Now, so when this, don't forget what I said. Life is like that. It keeps breaking into two. And usually it's either go left or right. Most of the time it's left or right. It's never three. It's always left or right. Now, the right can immediately break to another two. So it may look like it's three. But first, you have to decide whether you are going left or right. And these decisions are made based on principles. They are made based on understanding. Do you understand my point? And each point in life, you will know what is right to do and that which is wrong to do. Let me just say this. Look, I was saying it earlier. Let me finish it. James now said, if any man lacks wisdom, this is what he means. That is, there are times you get to a junction. You know, earlier when I said, say to your neighbor, most times. Now, let's remove the most times. The few times that remains, all right? Those few times that remain, you will get to those junctions and you actually don't know anything concerning making a decision on whether to turn to the left or turn to the right. For example, the sign that I spoke about earlier is written in Latin and you don't speak Latin. Do you get my point? For those who can speak Latin, it is clear. But you don't speak Latin. You've gotten to a junction. They've written in all sorts of languages apart from the ones that you speak and you can read or write. That's what James meant when he said, if any man lacks what? Wisdom. That is, every understanding you have, it has come to an end. And that's why sometimes people go for counseling. Alright? Serious people. Not jokers. You understand my point? Serious people. They want to do what is right. They just don't know it. And oftentimes you talk to somebody who knows more than you in life. A lot of times people come to me for counseling. I just seem to have more understanding. No special prayer. They're just talking that one a small thing. And you throw some light. And be careful, just by the way, be careful as a mature Christian. Be careful that you don't take counsel that is not founded upon understanding. What I mean is this. If somebody just tell you, do this, don't do that. The person is leading you. He's walking prophetically. You understand? And if you don't think he's a prophet, forget it. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. If you come to me for counseling, I will show you why I'm saying this. So that tomorrow, you understand, you can counsel somebody else because it will have been based upon what? Understanding. I will give you light, not just go left, go right. That's prophets, you understand? And there are times you will encounter prophets. When you're talking about counseling, we're not talking about prophets. We're talking about learning the ways of God. Do you get my point? Be careful when people are directing your life for you. That is, they are not leading you to understand God better. They're just telling you, and some people, that's how they behave. They want to start something else in life. They go to the very common in some churches. They go to the church, pray, is he right or wrong? And the pastor will go, oh, Lua, talk to your children. And then they say, don't do it. There's no reason, there's nothing to understand anymore than the guy wearing white said no. Are you getting my point? A lot of times, that's pure divination. Be careful with that. Do you follow? Uh-huh. What is right is that you come to, but at the end of that day, more insight will have been given to you. The other day, a young man came to see me when we were speaking. As he was talking, I mean, his own case was a bit tight. It was a very personal thing. And so I had to be praying. So as he was talking, I was praying. Yinka was with me that day. When he finished, I suddenly had light to give him. He was charging his path in a particular direction, and he felt needed to change his course at this point. And I just made it clear to him. I told him a few stories. In fact, the guy was laughing. He didn't know how to control himself. Because suddenly understanding was, you know, showering down on him. I said, no, the way you are going, you don't have to turn to the left or the right at this particular point. Just keep on going straight. The road is still okay in front of you. You will discover, I began to tell him, you know this person, this is how he went about it. You know this person, that he was making a decision based on one particular premise. That if I don't change my course now, I can never get to where I intend to get to. And I made it clear to him that that was an error. Let me give an example. Maybe somebody is a medical student. And he said, I want to go into ministry. You understand? And he said that, look, I just feel like pulling out of school so I can enter ministry. And you point to him that, no, you know Pastor Banky, he finished medical school. And he's in ministry. The man said, is it doable? Yes. You tell him Tunde Joda. You know him. You know Tony Rappu. Except there's a special reason. If it's just for the cause of, I want to go into ministry, it's not necessary. Relax. You are young. There's no need to be in a hurry. Do you understand my point? It's a principle. And next time, he can share it with somebody else. Now, let me get back to what I'm saying. So, you see, there are times in life you've exhausted all the principles you know. You get to a point, nobody is telling you anything that's more than that which you know already. That was what James meant when he said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him do what? Let him ask. Essentially, let him pray. Let's be like that. Let him pray. Let him ask God for direction. Now, those are the two things we are talking about today. This one and the other one I said should bear in mind. If you have no understanding, let him ask. But there is a situation in which he has understanding. But like that woman I was telling you about, to do that which is right is difficult. Let me give a very good example. Shall I say yes? Amen? Shall I say yes? Amen? No. You guys won't understand. It's women that will understand this. If a young woman falls in love badly, you know, guys don't know how to fall in love much. It's easy. But when you talk about falling in love, now ladies, young ladies understand. And you can't come to church. And the pastor says, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Are you getting what I'm saying? You guys, you are more in number here, but just try and follow. But it's women that understand what I'm saying. It's very easy for you to say, if he's an unbeliever, there is no. Is that true of us? Is it true of us? Is it true of us? Uh-huh. Is it clear? I mean, everybody knows it. Even your mother that knows it. Everybody that has the Bible, whoever went to church, knows that it is wrong for a Christian lady to marry an unbeliever. But go and tell the girl who's in love. It's not easy. Look, this is a matter of fact, eh? It is not easy. That is why later on, of course, we'll keep on discussing. That's why I tell you people, don't even walk. You say, blessed is the man who walketh not. Don't walk in the places where you'll be falling in love with people you're not supposed to fall in love with. I mean, once an unbeliever is sending you text message, return the text message, say, not delivered. Thank you very much. Ah, it's true now. I didn't look for wahala. Because, listen. Some guys are schooled in making you fall in love, amen? And some guys are not wicked, they are serious. You know, there are a lot of guys out there looking for Christian women to marry. And you know what it means? They know how to work at it. Nobody to come to church, we will go now. On Sunday morning, hey, praise the Lord, we need some workers. Oh, but don't go front, okay? See me and I walk out. And you join a prominent one, usher. The guy can't sing if I join choir. But once you can enter the choir and you want to be seen, the next place is what? Ushering now, waiting. And if you want the pastor to think you are very serious, you join prayer warriors. That one is for the pastor. That's not for the girl. It's for the pastor. You have to be careful from the beginning. All right? But let me see what I'm saying. Listen, there are times we know what is right to do, but we can't do it. That's the main thing I'm teaching today, actually. There are times we know what is right to do, but it's difficult. Tell a man to leave the job he's doing that earns good money and go to another one. Oh boy, no matter what you want to explain. You know, for ladies, say na love. Okay, for guys, na money. For ladies, okay. You know, guys, love is good. I'm not saying it's bad, but we have more issues with things that are more serious than love. Love is good, amen? Well, I tell you the truth, men love money more than women. Take a typical man, say choose. Let's discuss this choosing thing after the money matter. He said, no, choose between the woman and the money. I said, no, now we'll talk after. Let's collect it. That is, for him, anything else is not a choice. I mean, just let's bring this money in first. We cannot discuss every other choice. As a matter of fact, men love money more than they love women. Women may love money, men more than they love money. But for guys, it's the other way around. And this is a psychiatric fact, that is psychiatrists, they teach this one. And when I was in school, we were taught those things, all right? We were studying psychology. That if a woman has emotional problems, first of all, check her relationships. If a man has emotional problems, check his job. If you see a man, he can't sleep at night. They are pressing him in his sleep at night. Witches are pursuing him. He's not a witch. His work. Promotion is coming up. They want to lay off. Maybe he was working in a shunning bank. They're about to lay off half of the staff. You understand? Suddenly at night, the guy had to be beating. Tup, 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 tup. Listen, so when the woman, I can't sleep, a man says, I can't sleep, my head is swelling, my head is tight. You know, at night, I start having dreams and visions and imaginations of wicked things pursuing me. Just go to the office and find out what is going on. Is he owing people money? He's a businessman. Container is coming. No money to clear it. The mortgage will finish him. You understand my point? But when the woman says, I can't sleep at night, my chest will be tight, tight. Just say, he has stopped calling Abby. Once his phone call stopped coming in, now those wahalas, they burst. In case you did not know before, I've taught you that one today now. Amen? Alright, the Lord is good. Now, this is the point I'm making. So, you see, each person has his own pressures. So, you see, I'll just taking those two examples. Let's get back to the woman's example. Yes, she's crazily in love with him. Seriously. There's only one problem. Now, listen to this. Before I say that, this is what life is.